not just for those that have physical conditions, but for those that have the need for a Savior in their life, and for those of us today that depend upon the Lord for each and everything we need every day. And that goes right with our message this morning. If you've opened your Bibles to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, go with me if you would, to the last verse. This is where God has directed our hearts this morning while you pray. The last verse reads, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof." And just that one verse this morning, while you can be seated in the house of the Lord, let me give you our text and try to bring the message that God has given to us. That whole verse is summed up in a song that used to be sung in years gone by that said, "One day at a time." How many of you remember that song? "One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking from you." I'm thankful today, if I can praise Him for just a moment, that I grew up in the era of time that I did, to some of the best songs that there are, sung in some of the best churches that there are, and messages by some of the best preachers. Like so many things in life, we didn't realize what we had until they were taken away from us today. But this verse is really the summary of the latter part of this chapter, starting at verse 25 down through to where the Lord is teaching us that there are so many things that we worry about that causes stress and anxiety and sorrows that we ought not to bear. Or if we bear them, to remember that we have a helper. And you remember the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is known as our helper. We have a God who is our helper today as well. And I'd like to ask a question. When we think about all the things that we worry about and we have stress over and anxiety that comes in our life, if we look at the previous verses, how many of us worry or stress or have anxiety over, as he says in verse 25, what we're going to eat, drink, or wear? Many of us never think about or worry about or have anxiety or stress about what we're going to eat. Amen. I often tell you that some of our biggest discussions is, what do you want for supper? And it really don't matter to me. We could have a bologna sandwich and cheese, which is fine with me. It don't matter. Now, if you're one that worries about what you're going to eat, you won't say amen to that. Or how many of us worry about what we're going to drink? Are we going to have a soft drink? Are we going to have water? Are we going to have lemonade? Are we going to have Kool-Aid? And Kool-Aid's probably not even something that you can get anymore. I don't know. But what are we going to drink? And then probably one that some of you might say you do worry about is, what are we going to wear? I've often told you that if you saw me on a Saturday or one day during the week when I'm working around the house, you probably wouldn't even recognize me, because what I'm going to wear really isn't important as long as it covers my nakedness. It could have patches on it. I don't care. I grew up wearing patches. There was a space and time that probably we got away from wearing patches, but I had a pair of jeans that, you know, how many of y'all got that pair of jeans that just fit just right? And the knees were wearing out on them. And I had Becky to order some patches and put some patches on them. But now I won't wear them. because they got too many patches on them. I'd had designer jeans if I'd left the holes in them, but I chose to cover them up. You know, it sounds comical, but there are so many things in life that we worry about and we stress over and we have anxiety over that we ought to just let it go. Put it aside and not let it wear upon us. We've often heard that what we do is we take tomorrow's worries and add them to today, and it robs us of today's joy. But I've also got one that the Lord laid on my heart, is we take yesterday's sorrows, our failures from yesterday, and it robs us of our joy of today. If we're not careful, Satan will put more upon us than we are able to bear. I heard this week that in this country, since COVID hit and all the things that is associated with COVID, that the pharmaceuticals, the doctors are dispensing more prescriptions for anxiety drugs than they've ever dispensed. Because we're worried about so much. We have stress and anxiety over so many things. And I find that I give you that number today, that illustration to point to you. I believe if our people would just get back to God, we'd find out that we've got someone we can go to. Instead of a prescription, and their prescriptions are good in their place, don't get me wrong. But if we would just get back to the rock, we would find the answer to many of our worries and our cares about life and everything that's going on. To go back a few years, I remember Granny and others saying, "These kids are killing me." Some of you may have said that, even yourself. Or you've heard it said by your mother about you. And the reason why we are so overwhelmed with so many things is that there are some things that we bring upon ourselves that causes us to have anxiety and worry and stress. There are things that others bring upon us. How many of you got children and grandchildren? Mary made mention of Catherine this morning. Our grandchildren worry us. Our children worry us, and our spouses, our families, our churches. We have so many things. I thought about it, I guess it was on Friday, that, you know, we have the worries and the stress, the anxiety that's at home. We have it at the workplace. We have it even if you care about your church, you even have it in your church house. Amen. But I heard a story this week that helped put some of my worries and anxiety aside. And it was about a circuit rider preacher. How many of you remember the circuit riders, that they would have two or three, maybe four churches that they would pastor, and they'd be at one on Sunday morning, and then next week they'd be at a different one. They didn't have enough congregation. Maybe 10 or 11 people show up. But you know what? They kept going, because God blessed them. We worry about so many things that we ought to just give to God and say, "Lord, this is more than I can handle." How many of you got things upon your mind this morning that you know, so many of them, you have no answer to? You have no answer to. I believe that's what Matthew was saying when he said, "Take no thought," or Jesus in the book of Matthew, "about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil or the problems thereof." We have enough problems today to leave tomorrow's where they're at. Because one, we don't even know if tomorrow will come for you or I, or even for this world. Others bring things upon us, and even society brings worries and stress upon us. I'm worried and have worry, how are we going to pay this $1.5 trillion back that our country is borrowing? And the answer is, we're unable to. We're not able to. Our children and our grandchildren will not be able to pay back all this money that our government is spending. Instead of spending more, we ought to be cutting some of those programs that are not needed. Welfare was not intended to be a lifelong journey. It was to be a temporary fix for a problem. And don't get me wrong, we've all had our share of problems, have we not? But the biggest of all of these that causes us to have these issues is that we try to get ahead of God, or we are caught following too far behind. And either one of those situations where we are less dependent upon God and more dependent upon ourselves causes a lot of stress and anxiety in our own lives. I wish that we could get our people back to God. It would eliminate a lot of stress and anxiety on us. How many of you worry about your children and your grandchildren and their relationship with God today? And we worry about the future. See, I don't worry about myself, Sister Joan. I know that I'm ready whenever God calls. But I worry about those that are so unprepared and so unconcerned about where they're at and their future. You see, the Bible teaches us, to him that is forgiven a lot, loveth a lot. And when we look back on our life, how much God has forgiven us, how many of us would be ashamed for everything that God has forgiven us for to be mentioned? And God has forgiven us so much that it causes us to love deeper than we thought we could ever love. Love for brothers and sisters, love for God, love for our church, love for our country. You see, we love so much. And much of our worries and stress and anxiety comes from our own household. I worry about yours, don't get me wrong. And it causes stress to me when you have stress. But we know that blood is thicker than water. And our own about drives us crazy. Amen. I reflect back on Brother Ron. We thought when the kids was little, we had issues. But my Lord, they were nothing compared to what we face today as they grew up. Amen. And some of us have heard preachers stand and say that it's our fault that they've turned out the way that they have. I say the Bible teaches us, and the Lord emphasized, that every one of us are free moral agents to choose how we will live our lives. You could have two children grow up in the same household, and one turn out to be a saint and the other one turn out to be a sinner because they choose that life. I look at my dad's and mom's children. None of us are perfect, but we are so different in every way. And I'm sure that we put some gray hairs in both of their heads, just like our children are doing to us today. And the reason why we worry and stress so much is because there's too much at risk. Here, Jesus was saying, if I can paraphrase it this morning into this message, that we don't worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear. God has provided richly for every one of us. And some of us grew up with just two pairs of breeches and a few shirts, but every day we had a different outfit on. Some of y'all didn't get that. Because you can take two pair of breeches and put different shirts with it, and it's a new outfit, Sarah. Amen. You don't have to have a closet hanging full in order to have clothing to wear. I wish that people would realize that today and quit worrying about it. If you worry about what you're going to wear to try to impress somebody, you've missed the mark completely. I said this many years ago here at the church. Every one of us could wear the same outfit every Sunday, and I wouldn't be a least bit offended or worried about it. You know why? Because we don't come to see what you're wearing. We come to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, that those that are lost might be saved. How many of our forefathers went to church in bib overhauls and just a dress shirt underneath of it? It's a simpler time. You know, sometimes our worries and our stress is brought on by ourselves because we've elevated our own requirements of what we need to make it through this world. But you know, a lot of the things that we worry and stress over, they're outside of our control. As he says in Matthew, the 6th chapter, just a few verses up in the 27th verse, which one of us, by taking thought, can add one cubit to our stature? About 18 inches. And I thought, Lord, I'd like to be about 18 inches taller. Right? Somebody say amen in the house of the Lord. But you know, I can't do it. I have no control over it. Why do we worry and stress over things that we have no control over? It's not going to change the situation. We have no power over them whatsoever. People are going to always do what they want to do, and not what we know God has best in store for each and every one of them. They're going to go their own way. You say, well, if they're going to go their own way, then we ought to just stop doing what we're doing. If you love them, you can't stop. You can't stop. You just have to ask God, help me, Lord, that I can control this stress and anxiety that I'm... How many of you have ever heard of bottled up anger? Bottled up anger is a result of stress and anxiety, to where the least little thing sets you off. It's not that last thing that sets you off. It's the culmination of everything that's been poured on top of you. And we get to the point that we're at a breaking point. And it's just, and if you're, and I have to confess, if you're like me, it's probably the one that you're closest to that has to endure that bottled up anger, the lashing of the tongue. And I read yesterday, and I thought this goes right along with what James said about the tongue. Did you know that the tongue is the most powerful muscle you have in your body? The most powerful muscle. And some of us exercise it quite often. Amen? Yes, sir. But we have no power over most of the things that we worry about. In fact, most of the things that cause stress and worries to us never comes to the height that Satan allows our minds to take it to. How many times has Satan got you worrying about the worst possible outcome, and yet it got nowhere near that? And the reason why it didn't is because somebody got a hold of God. God can change the outcome. I'm looking at people today, if it hadn't been for God, your worries and stress would have overtaken you. You know, years ago, some of you remember this, years ago they used to say they had a nervous breakdown. What it was more than they was able to bear. And they collapsed under the load. I wish our people would get back to God so that we could lighten our load that we're carrying today. It's not going to say that we still wouldn't have stress and worries. I think as long as we're in this world, we're going to have those that we're going to have to put up with. Every day, it's something new. Every day. Becky and I, between the two of us, the number of texts and calls we get about people and their situation of what's going on in their life, I think sometimes, Lord, it can't get no worse than what it is. Only to see even something greater come along. When I heard about Hope's friend this morning, they're worried that that's cancer. I thought, oh Lord, that's another worry that we have. You say, Roger, why do you take everybody's problems and make it yours? If you love people, you love God, you care about these things. I know Jeff, she's been here, and I probably wouldn't know her if she walked in the door. But that is somebody's daughter. That is somebody's friend. And that worry comes to us. Sarah's friend that's younger than her. You say, do you try to take everybody's problems? I try to take them to God in prayer. And if God will allow me to pray for them, I know tonight, tomorrow, I might not even mention her name or one of your names because I've given it to God and God says, I have it now. Hallelujah. I have it now. Doesn't mean we still won't be concerned. But the worry and the stress is not a load that's upon us today. In the book of Luke, in the 12th chapter, in the 26th verse, he said that if we are not able to do the least thing, why do we take thought, so much thought for the rest? Not a one of us can say, be healed, and somebody is healed. Not a one of us can fix every problem that somebody is going through. We just don't have the resources, Brother Ron, to fix all of these things. I can't even some days decide simple things. Do we paint the walls white or do we paint them gray? Do I drive the Camry or do I drive the GMC? Or do I drive the old truck? And you know, some of the decisions I make causes others to poke fun at our decisions. But you know, once we make our decisions, these little things, it really don't matter. I've told you many times, anybody that would drive an old truck with the back window out, no seat in it, sitting on a cinder block, a concrete block, drive it to work just as proud as those that was driving the fancy vehicles. You say, Roger, you have no pride whatsoever. No, I know where I came from. I know where I came from. And where God brought me from, he blessed me while I was there. He's blessed me on the journey. And you ought to see what he's got prepared for me when this journey comes to an end. See, we don't worry about what's going to happen after death. We worry about everything that's in between that gets us to where some days we're not even good for ourselves. The dog won't even sit in your lap. In fact, the dog don't even be around you. There's times, if you heard me testify before, there's times I don't even like to be with myself. Somebody say amen. And you say, why do you allow yourself to get so worked up in that situation? Because we care so much. Because we care. And it's a culmination of everything coming at you. You ever felt like the whole world was coming at you at one time? And there was no place that you could find any rest until you took it to the Lord. And said, God, I give it to you. And you know what happens usually in that situation? We go to an altar to pray and we're not even able to speak a word because the burden is so heavy. And we just go and we just weep. But you know, another song from years gone by, tears are a language God understands. God knows your heart. And those tears, did not the writer say that our tears are bottled up? You know, in the old days, they used to carry a little bottle, and they would bottle up their tears to show their concern. I don't have a bottle to put mine in, but God sees every tear that falls. He knows every burden you're bearing. He knows every sorrow. He knows all about us today. He knows your cares. In fact, he said, cast your cares upon me. This message today is to help us that we would allow ourselves, and I'll be the first to confess, I allow myself to carry too much when I ought to find an altar somewhere and say, Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you. I cannot change that medical diagnosis. I cannot change that wayward child. I cannot change the addiction that some of our family members have. I cannot change the desires that people have. And as a pastor, I can't change that some people elect to stay home instead of coming to church. But these are worries that I carry. I do. And you know what really I worry about is those that say they're saved and never bring their children or grandchildren to the house of God. If you love your children and grandchildren, you will bring them to the house of God that when they come to the age of accountability, they might also choose to know Jesus Christ. That is my biggest worry. God said, cast your cares upon me. 1 Peter 5 and 7, he said, casting your cares or your burdens upon me because he cares for you. How many of you know God cares for you? He cares for you. If I see one of my children under a heavy load, I try to jump in, Sister Sharon, with everything I have and try to help them. Give you an example. Sometime back in the spring, I guess it was, or summer, Roger's house needed a new roof put on it. And I was up there working side beside them, trying my best to help in every way I could. Sometimes the best way we could be a help is to be a runner, right? Somebody has to go get supplies. But at this one time, I guess it was last year, on this roof, I was in there just as much as they was with pry bars and trying to tear up the old roof so we could put a new one down. And Brandon, unbeknownst to me, snapped a picture and he put a note on it to something to this point that, look at my 60-year-old dad still working as hard as he ever has. It doesn't matter. You will find the energy to do the work no matter how old you are when it comes to those that you love. Amen. You'll go the extra mile. You'll get them out of places that you thought they would never end up in. And you will never stop praying for them because you know your limitations are there. But you see, it all comes down to what Luke 12:31 says, with all these worries and stress that we carry. Luke said it like this, if I could paraphrase. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, talking about food, water, or drink and raiment, shall be added unto you. Ever since I've been saved, I've never worried about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, or what we're going to wear. You might get tired of seeing the same outfit, but as long as it's clean, amen. If you're going to talk about me on your knees to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'm not a fashion buff. I don't come to impress. I come to the house of God to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, that we might be encouraged and that lost might be saved, and to try to change the stigma of this world that's on our people, that he that dies with the most toys wins. No. No. He that dies with Jesus Christ wins. And everything you accumulate while in this world that you worry about, you're going to leave to somebody else. If you live long enough, and we talked about this before church, if you live long enough and your health deteriorates and you end up in a home, Social Security is going to end up with everything you've got. Medicaid, I should say, is going to end up with everything you have. We talked about farms that was lost because Medicaid forced the sale to pay the debt. Or your children, and you remember from years gone by, me preaching this, years gone by, that mom and dad has saved every penny that they could, only to die and their children go out and blow it with riotous living. Cheated themselves of little pleasures so that their kids could go out and blow it on drugs and alcohol and riotous living. You say, well, the Bible teaches us that the parents, the children ought not lay up for the parents, but the parents ought to lay up for the children. And that is true. But I tell mine, I'm giving them theirs while I live. Every time I fill the car up with gas, that's part of their inheritance. Somebody say amen. Every time they need help, that's part of their inheritance. Because when I die, I'm going to leave them debt. Amen. I got one, amen. But I worry about their future. Don't you worry about yours. And this world that they're living in. Let me find a closing place. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When I find myself stressed and worried and about to break, I think we all know we have a breaking point. That's when I remember whose I am. And I go to my Father. And I say, it's me again, Lord. I've allowed it to get too big. I didn't think it would get this big. Now look at it. It has grown. So I give it to you, Lord. And I need your help with what I am facing. Because Jesus said here, if I can put it into Roger's words, quit worrying and stressing and having anxiety over tomorrow. For tomorrow shall have enough stress, worry, and anxiety in itself. And I said some of our stress is self-inflicted. Let me pause there for a minute. You know, Saturday is my big day. About Thursday, I'll start putting together in my mind my list of things that I want to do on Saturday. And I'll have so many things to do. And about Saturday at noon, I'll start stressing. Because here it is noontime, and I've barely touched my list. Now, these are not immediate needs. These are things that Roger says, I'd like to get done today. Anybody else do that? And then about Saturday at 1 o'clock, you don't want to be around me. Because now I've gotten totally stressed out. I wanted to get all this done. Yesterday morning, I had my list. I want to get some things done. I walk out of the garage, open the door, and there sits Becky's truck with a flat tire. That just disrupted my plans. Because now I got to take a tire off, take it up to the shop, get it, see what's wrong with it, and get it fixed. Right? I do that. I come back. And then we're doing some work at Roger's house. And he's called me because the contractor's there. And I get back to the house. I'm getting in the truck to go to his house to meet with his contractor. I put the key in. My truck starts right up. But I can't get the gear shift to move. Daggone Dodges. So I get out my phone and I look it up on YouTube. What is wrong with the 2002 Dodge Ram 1500 that the gear shift won't move? And there's electromagnetic field force in there that pushes a trigger out. And the guy said, oh, this is a 2 minute or less video. And I'm like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I need to go. And he says, take some silicone, some WD-40, and take this cover off and spray it in there. That'll loosen that mechanism to where it can slide. I did that, thought, shut the garage door, got back in the truck, started up, went to move it, still won't move. My stress level's getting high. So then I opened the garage door back up, went in and got a screwdriver. And thought, let me see if I can move this mechanism. And long story short, I couldn't get it in gear. So I just kept pulling on it until finally it broke loose. And I'm praying, Lord, did I just tear up my truck because I put too much pressure on it? You can see how my day, the anxiety and stress got to me. But you know what? I kept cool. Rogers called me again. They're here. They won't do anything until you get here. I said, okay. As soon as this thing starts, I'm on my way. Finally, I get on the road and I get down there. But my whole day, those two events, ended up that come 6 o'clock last night, I didn't have but just a couple things checked off on my about a 20-point list of things I wanted to do. How many of you like me, we inflict a lot of stress and anxiety upon ourselves when we ought to say, Lord, help me to do that which I need to do and let the other stay. Prioritize what has to be done. And you know what we find most of the time? None of it actually had to be done. No. None of it. But see, we forget that we're human. We forget that. And we allow all this to build up. But I brought you an answer today. The answer is Jesus. Jesus. After I finally got it in gear, Jack and I said, oh Lord, I think I broke it. The second time when it did work, I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't break it. You say, you sure do a lot of thanking. I also do a lot of, I need you, Lord. I'd like to close with an altar of prayer. Would that be all right? Bring your worries. Bring your burdens. Bring your cares and those things that are stressing you and got your anxiety level so high. Bring them to God because He cares for you. He cares about what you're going through. I can't fix your things that you got up on your mind right now. If I could, I would. But I know a man who can. I know a man who can. And as I look at this audience, I believe most, if not all of you, are saved. You know who can help you. From that mother that's worried about that child to that friend that is sick. I worry about Kenny and Della. I worry today about this whole list of people that need a touch from God. I can't speak a word and make it all whole. But ask the blind man. He saw it all. Let's take it to the Lord this morning in prayer, asking Him to help us with today. Today. One day at a time. Let's start today. Would you pray with us this morning?
Dear Lord, I praise You for Your word and for Your spirit. Thank You, God, that You've given us a place where we could come, feel Your presence, and know that, God, that no matter what is upon our hearts, that You care about it. Lord, that Your ears are open to the cries of Your children. Lord, I praise You today that we have this relief, that when the world has no place to go, we have You, that we can bring our burdens and our cares to and say, God, would You help us? Lord, lift us up and help us to defeat the things that Satan has brought to tear us down, to bring us down. For Lord, we're no good when we're down. Lord, when we stand high in the midst of our trouble, to show the world and Satan that greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. Lord, we pray for the many needs that there are today. I know they worry us. God, but we know that You're not in heaven wringing Your hands about the remedy, for You are the remedy. I pray that Your will be done in each and every one of them this morning. Go with us this day. Help that mother worried about that child. Help that little young lady today. Lord, I don't know what the prognosis is, but You do. Help Dad. Help Tara. Lord, I pray for Sarah's friend. I pray for Kenny and Ellen. For all these on our prayer list, Lord. You know them all today. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. God bless you. I pray that you got something from the message that will help you when these times come along. Because if you're not in it right now, you hold on. It's coming. It's coming. But as I was praying, the scripture come, greater is He that's in you than he that is in this world. And He can help us cope with anything. We wonder how we're going to get through it. But God will bring us through it. He will not leave us this far in the journey. But He will see us the rest of the way through this life and on home to be with Him. God bless you. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. I pray that some of these that are not well this morning will be able to be here tonight. And we'll look for each and every one of you that can be here tonight as well. Watch your travels, be safe, and come back tonight expecting another blessing from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you today is our prayer.